Thank you for listening to Culture and Agriculture. My name is Tate Cronin with the University of Tennessee Institute of Agriculture, and today we are sitting down with Kim Brown, turfgrass and pesticide extension specialist, here to talk about some developments in turfgrass here in West Tennessee. Kim, how are you today?
I'm great.
So what do you have planned for us today?
Well, you know, when you asked me to do this podcast, you know, we did fire ants last time. We decided we'd talk a little bit about turf. And this morning I got to go look at a golf course. So that was a fun morning. But, you know, when I was thinking about what to talk about today, I thought we'd kind of start off with some of the challenges we had with green up in our winter warm season grasses and our warm season grasses coming out of this past winter. You know, we dealt with a lot of winter kill in different spots across West Tennessee, really across Tennessee in general. But I'm going to focus today on West Tennessee. And, you know, even out in my turf grass circle, my turf wheel, but we still have some winter kill that is just struggling to recover, especially in our zoysias. And all of my zoysias out there are just really struggling to green up. Or it's greened up, but just finished recovering from some of the damage that we sustained when those -3 temperatures and some of that wind chill, you know, just wind burn on the grasses. It was pretty rough winter, and then coming out of the spring, really rocking and rolling with our warm season grass growing. So it's looking good right now.
That's great. I know a lot of homeowners were concerned that maybe their grass, their lawns wouldn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
So what were some of the trends that you saw? Were certain types of grass doing better than others? What was it looking like?
Well, you know, that's a hard question. We are in Tennessee, we're in the transition zone. So I've always lived further south than here. So I joke with my husband all the time. He moved me north of I-20 and he moved me up north. And everybody laughs at me when I say that here in Tennessee. We're still supposed to be in the south. But honestly, it was a pretty rough winter, right? But only for a short time frame. And then it warmed up and it cooled off and it warmed up. It was just such a wonky winter. And both winters my husband's had me here, it's been kind of wonky. But anyways, it just was, I think it's been all of our varieties have struggled. It didn't really matter if it was a Bermuda grass or the different zoysias. They all sustained some damage, and it was hit or miss. There were so many variables. In some of the yards that I've gone and looked at this year, there hasn't been one answer for what's wrong. You know, it's been an environmental, a combination of stuff. You know, some of our grasses are more adapted to warmer weather, and then we got that really cool weather, or the extended cool weather was really rough on it. And then this spring, it was so damp and cool. It just was rough coming out. But I think we've really... from what I've seen everything kind of turn the corner. You know, it's starting to look good. I mean, some areas we're still going to, it's going to be slow to kind of recover. The thing that I'm a little concerned about is if we don't start getting a little bit more consistent rain. You know, I haven't had to water the circle as much this year as I did last year here on station. But it is something I'm watching, you know, making sure that we are getting enough water for stuff to recover, fertility. You know, our zoysias don't like as much fertilizer, nitrogen as our Bermudas. We can talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But just trying to kind of get us maintenance-wise, get us up and going. And it just was a rough start. And we are in the transition zone, so these warm season grasses kind of struggle, just like we're fixing to move into. I've got some cool season grasses in the turf grass circle as well. So I've got fescue. I've got two different varieties of fescue out there. And we've got a Kentucky bluegrass, Texas bluegrass hybrid mix underneath the ginkgo tree here at the station. And just showing off some of those cool season grasses. And we'll start to see those guys kind of struggle come in the next couple months, because I mean, my goodness, it's supposed to be 104 tomorrow here. It was pretty hot.
It is.
I was like, what, has Louisiana shown up to Tennessee? So that's something that we've got to watch and making sure our grasses get enough water so they can continue to grow well.
So how can homeowners who are maybe seeing their lawns really struggling to come back, how can they know when it's time to maybe do fertilizer? How can they know when it's time to water? What tips do you have?
So, yeah, that's good questions. But let's back up and let's talk a little bit about some other management stuff. So right now we're in the throes of mowing, right? Everything's growing really good when we get the rainfall, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I guess to answer your question a little bit more on fertility is... like where I went this morning, my first question was, when was the last time you tested your soils, right? Do a soil sample. You know, UT has a great soils lab located in Nashville, run by Dr. Robert Florence. It's a great lab. Would be a great thing. And what we always tell folks is don't guess soil test. You know, go and make sure you get your soil tested so you know what's going on. And the equation that I gave, I was talking to a friend of mine that's a veterinarian, and she's been asking me questions about her yard and stuff. And I said, you would never do anything doctoring your animals, or like my friend of mine that's a doctor. You'd never doctor a human without doing blood work, right? Well, this is kind of like the equivalent of blood work for soils. We need to know what's going on in our soils. So we know what our pH is, and we can figure out, thinking about our macronutrients and our micronutrients are not as big a deal for homeowners, but our macronutrients, which is our N, P, and K, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And so we want to make sure we're putting enough out for our, and so that's really where we want to be. But definitely taking those soil samples is going to be a great thing. And we are, like I said, in the throes of mowing. I mean, I just got done mowing right before I came in here. I had to get the turf circle mowed. Big things about mowing is we want to make sure we're mowing our grasses at the appropriate heights and with sharp blades, okay? So we don't want to have dull blades. If you haven't sharpened your blades since last year, you need to get that done, because a poor cut is really detrimental to our grasses, right? It's going to open it up for disease and just not let it have a good clean cut, and it just won't look as well. And there's different mowers that we use. Typically, our homeowners use what we call rotary mowers. It's the mowers that go round and round right underneath. That's what we're traditionally using. We also want to think about making sure we don't mow too much. So a lot of people, my husband included, sometimes thinks we just need to lower the mowing deck as low as we can go, right? Well, let's not do that. Think about our mowing height. We don't want to take more than about 1/3 of an inch off of that. Well, 1/3 of the average plant height off of that plant. And so you want to just take it down in small increments if you haven't mowed consistently. And the other big thing that you want to think about when you're mowing is we mow different directions. And I know that gets difficult. You know, my personal home is a little bit difficult for me to mow different directions on certain parts of my property just because of the layout of our land. But ideally, that's what we want to do. So I usually work in a clockwise rotation. Every time I mow a different direction, and I just kind of go around a clock. So I go straight and then, you know, to different directions as we go. So that's really important. And again, those sharpened blades is really, really important so that we don't have that leaf damage and potential for fungal diseases getting in there. So that's really important. And we've already kind of talked a little bit about our fertility, but again, I want to recommend that everybody get that soil test and doing some soil sampling. UT's Soil Labs has some great information if you want to figure out how to do that a little better. The other thing that you can do, and I strongly recommend, contacting your local county agent. They're a great resource for helping you figure out how to take soil samples if you don't know. But what we want to do is we want to take a soil probe, and a lot of our county offices do have those, and take a soil probe, and you want to take samples randomly throughout your yard. And there's a certain way to do that so you can get some good soil samples and get a good picture of what's going on in your yard.
So let's talk a little bit about the difference between warm season and cool season grasses.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk a little bit about fertility when we think about that, because we're just talking about fertility. So if we kind of keep going on that, timing is really important when we think about fertilizer or even management in general. So our warm season grasses are rocking and rolling right now. You know, our Bermudas and our Zoysias are really growing strong and doing real well. So this is the time of year when we would do most of our management for those guys. So for our Bermuda and our Zoysias. And so we're going to start really doing some of our fertilizer work in that May, July timeframe, going into August. We really don't want to do much fertility beyond September. And I usually would recommend, for me, I'd say more towards the beginning of September to the middle of September. You don't want to do too much in our warm season grasses beyond that because it's starting to shut down and go dormant, right? But that's when our cool season grasses are picking up. So you want to start thinking more about fertilizing our cool season grasses in that October, November, December September time frame, also into that March, April. And then beyond that, that's when those guys are going to start shutting down. And you would kind of rock and roll that direction. So it's important to understand that, because you don't want to put too much fertilizer. Because if we over-fertilize, especially with nitrogen, nitrogen's super important. One of the things that we talked a little bit about earlier is dollar spot, right? So dollar spot is one of the few diseases that, you know, you can help with by putting more nitrogen fertilizer out there. The rest of our diseases, if we put too much nitrogen, we're going to encourage disease growth, right? So we want to think about that, and we don't want to over apply. So one of the things that I really recommend to folks is that they also calibrate their fertility equipment so they don't over apply their fertilizers, and definitely look at that recommendations. And we could spend a ton of time talking on that, but today is not probably the day to talk a lot about fertility. And like I said, Dr. Robert Florence is a great resource at our soils testing lab in Nashville.
Let's also talk a little bit about irrigation. I know that's a question a lot of homeowners have.
Yeah, so one of the things that I want to recommend to folks is we're kind of, you know, sometimes we get these afternoon pop-up thunderstorms, which are helpful, right? We get a little bit of natural rainfall. But we still want to make sure in some of these droughty, I don't want to say drought, but if we get in some of these drier spells where we're not getting as much rain, we want to make sure we're irrigating appropriately. And so you want to understand what your soil's type is. If you got a really clayey soil, it's going to be a little bit harder for water to go percolate down through it versus sandy soils. Water is going to move down through a little bit more readily. But when we talk a little bit about irrigation, we want to make sure that we water deeply and infrequently, right? So that's going to encourage that root growth down. And that's what we want. We want good root system because it's going to help our grasses be a lot more drought tolerant, just a lot healthier in general, right? So we want to make sure we're moistening that entire turf grass root zone when we're irrigating. However, we don't want to apply too much water. The other big thing that I want to note is that we don't want to irrigate at sunset, right? So we want to, it's going to be better to irrigate around that 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. or that 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Those are kind of your ideal time frames for watering. And if you can, have a rain sensor installed. So if you've got an irrigation system, so have that rain sensor so that your irrigation system doesn't automatically kick on. One of my biggest pet peeves is when I drive by and irrigation is running while it's raining. It's like, why are we putting more water out, right? Especially if you're paying for water. And so the irrigate in the morning, but you want to be careful to not irrigate too much whenever there's dew present, because you can increase some of that potential for disease, and that's something you want to be aware of. The other thing that I thought I'd briefly touch on really quick with you, Tate, is thatch and also compaction. So like those don't quite go hand in hand. They're two different, completely separate things, but we're going to kind of treat them the same way. So thatch is when you get that really, really spongy area in your on the top of your soil. You get a lot of your root mass. It's kind of on top of the soil. And that can really encourage some disease growth. And so we want to kind of make sure we're not getting too much of that. Some of our Bermudas and Zoysias can get real thatchy, especially if we're doing a lot of fertility, not picking up our clippings, that kind of thing can encourage some thatch growth. But I don't encourage picking up clippings, so you don't want to take away your, you don't have to fertilize as much if you don't do that, right? So dethatching is something that you might want to consider doing. The other thing is, if we're dealing with soil compaction, and I've seen a ton of that here, right? Our soils get really compacted really easily. How do you tell if something's compacted? Well, you take like a pocket knife or a screwdriver, and if you put it in the ground and it's hard to go into the ground, your soil is compacted. If it's easy, it's not that compacted. Really, really difficult, right? But it is something that we have to deal with. And we've got some pretty compacted areas here at the experiment station, here at the center here in Jackson. And so what we did last week is we aerified. And so what we did is we pulled cores. So we have this machine that's called an aerator, and it pulls cores out of the soil. And then we can go in, if we decided to, we could top dress. What we did here for low maintenance is we just mowed over those plugs and just kind of beat that back up and just left it there on the soil surface or on the turf surface. But aerification can help just give that soil a little bit more room so those roots can kind of loosen up and just feel a little bit better about life. One thing that you could do as a homeowner, if you wanted to do that, you could also potentially top dress, which is using sand at a very small amount, no more than a quarter of an inch over the area that you just aerified. So you could pick up your plugs and then top dress if you wanted to. Those are some options and things we could do to help reduce compaction and thatch buildup, which is just helps the grass in general just feel a little bit better about itself. And then we could fertilize and it's going to do a lot better. So core aerification, it just really encourages that root growth and can be really, really helpful. So
thank you so much, Kim, for sitting down with us, and thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.